Tonight's programme comes from the recent Afloat Irish Sailing Association Awards in the RDS. We'll hear from many of the winners. There was a full house at the RDS last weekend for the annual ISA Sailing Awards sponsored by Afloat. People young and old were honoured for their contributions to sailing, and there were monthly and annual awards. I spoke to many of the winners for Seascapes, and first was Ellen O'Regan. She was voted Senior Sailing Instructor of the Year. Ellen is from the Fastnet Sailing School in Scull, County Cork.
It's a really vibrant sailing school, catering for children from the age of 8 right up to adults who join us to do sailing in the school during the summer courses. I was very lucky that I attended Scull Community College, which is linked with this Fastnet school. So I started sailing when I was 10, and then sailed with the secondary school team with our coach David Hart for the 6 years in secondary school. Sailing was on the curriculum for us, so we were very lucky.
That sailing team in Scull is pretty unique in the school for a school activity in the country.
It is, absolutely, yeah. I think we might possibly be the only school in the country that is sailing on the curriculum. So we were really lucky. We all had the opportunity to get involved in sailing from first year. Then in transition year, we sail really often if you wish to do so. So I was able to do my dinghy instructorship then as well as training competitively with the team racing team.
To get your dinghy instructorship, it takes a good couple of years, 4, 5, 6 years?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on how much sailing you're doing. We were very lucky. We were sailing regularly. We sailed every single week. So we were sailing every week for 4 years. So for us, we were in a fortunate position that we were practicing all the time. And our coach, David Hart, was fantastic to help us and equip us with all the skills that we needed to complete the sailing instructorship.
You move then into the sailing school itself, the summer activity for kids who come along. How many kids do you have during the courses there?
8 courses during the summer, and we usually have between 30 and 42 or 3 students every week.
Kind of manageable, or is it?
You know, it is manageable. I mean, we have a fantastic team of instructors there, and with Dave as well, we have a brilliant team. So it is definitely manageable. What makes it a little bit challenging is the weather, so we're not always guaranteed with a good moderate breeze for beginner sailors. Sometimes it's a little bit too windy, but we have to cater for that as well within onshore activities as well.
If I'm somebody, I have some kids, I want to get them interested in sailing, what's your advice?
Personally, I think starting at the age of 10 is probably old enough.
So not before that?
Well, it definitely depends on the child. Obviously, some children will take to it and much easier than others. They won't be as nervous. But I do tend to find that the age of 10 is a good age to start, because the last thing you want to do is to put them off sailing. And just to ease them into it, I suppose. We're very fortunate down in Scull. We have different boats to cater for all sailing levels. So whether you want your child to be in a boat sailing themselves, or in a boat with an instructor, we can cater for both. So it really depends on the child, but I think the age of 10 is a good age to start.
What single do you out to make you Senior Instructor of the Year?
Geez, I don't know. I wasn't expecting it at all, to be honest. I suppose I have been the senior instructor down in Scull for the last 4 years. I'm also a primary school teacher, so I just love working with children. I'm really passionate about the job. I put a lot of hours behind the scenes in terms of organising to make it as smooth as possible. I suppose communicating with parents and instructors as well, I enjoy that aspect. So possibly those those factors.
Next, I met with Bray Sailing Club, who won 2 awards, Sailing Centre of the Year and the Inclusion Award. Jack Hannon of Bray told me about the club.
Bray Sailing Club is a small club just in Killiney Bay. We're a very volunteer-run club with loads of family members, and it's a very family-orientated club. So that's kind of the main thing for Bray Sailing Club.
How many members do you have there, and what age group are they?
So we've got 300 members, aged from 7 up to in their 80s, and with everyone actively participating on the water most weeks during the summer.
You personally then won an Inclusion Award. Tell me about that award.
It was a total shock to me, to be honest. I had no idea that, that there was even an award for that tonight. So a couple of years ago, we started up an inclusion and sport program in Bray Sailing Club with a local club called Lakers, which is a club for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. And it started out with them just coming down for a couple of sessions during the summer, and it's really just taken off from there. Last summer we had 29 sailors on the water as part of the inclusion and sport program, but also all of our instructors for the courses are volunteer, so they volunteer their time for free at the end of a day's work. And a number of us went to Galway and were part of the Irish Sailing Water Sport Inclusion Games at the end of the summer. So yeah, no, everyone really enjoyed it and just loved doing it.
To be awarded there for Bray Sailing Club the Sail Training Centre of the Year, that's quite an achievement, because there are an awful lot of hurdles to get through.
Yeah, absolutely massive. It's something we've kind of had our eyes on for the last 2 years, and the whole club has rowed in behind it.
How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, it's just about trying to maximise our time on the water and delivering our training in the best way that we can. We've got a very large and growing junior section, which takes up most of the time during the summer, but then we also try to provide training which would be shore-based as well, not specific to sailing, so there'd be radio courses, first aid courses, safeguarding courses. So we just try to provide a lot of opportunities to our members and those who aren't members to come and learn.
It's just my impression, tell me if I'm wrong, but to win something like this, you need to have a retention of instructors from year to year. You can't just change them over every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very lucky that we've got a very large pool of homegrown instructors and more coming up through the ranks as well. So we try to prioritise our training for our own guys to ensure that the club can continue on for years to come when some of the instructors who are working now won't be working. So it's just about getting them through the system, giving them the best training they can, and hopefully they can continue to keep the club going the way it's going.
Nell Staunton was voted Youth Sailor of the Year. She told me about her career.
I started off sailing in Scary Sailing Club, and now I'm in the National Yacht Club in Dunleary. Over the last 2 years, I've been training with the academy, and last year was my last year as a youth sailor. And this year I'm sitting my leaving certificate. I've decided that I'm going to focus on that for the year. Sailing will always be there, and during the summer I'm planning to go back to it. So I'm still doing fitness, and then once my leaving cert is finished in June, I will be going straight back into it.
And what will you be sailing?
I sail a laser radio, and I will be competing in the under 21 Europeans. They're in August. Then I will be doing the under 21 Worlds in November, which will take place in Croatia.
Tell me about the academy that you mentioned.
So the academy is a youth-based training group. So it's Ireland's developing training pretty much to get onto the Olympic team. So I was 17 when I first got chosen for that. And I've come a long way from where I started. It is it's a great program that they have, and it contains both sailing and fitness.
Is that run by the ISA?
Yeah, it's run by the ISA, and the coach is Sean Evans.
What have you done this year to get you this award as youth sailor?
So back last year in July, I was selected to go to the ISAFs, which are the World Youth Sailing Championships. In order to go to these, I had to come first girl in the Irish Youth National Championships, which were held in Dunleary. And then in July, I went off to Texas, and the Youth World National World Championships were held in Texas, Corpus Christi. So I placed eighth at them, which is Ireland's best youth girls result.
Congratulations. What are your ambitions going forward?
So I'm looking to go towards 2024 Olympics. As I said, I'm going to focus on school this year, and then from then I'm going to put all my focus on sailing and go on to third level education and be able to hopefully balance the both.
The ISA and the Olympic committees, they do have programs to help you through that.
Yes, I do have programs, and I know two of the Olympic sailors who are in the laser radio class at the moment are able to balance both sailing and school. So hopefully I'll be able to do the same and I'll be able to make my career come true.
The big award of the night, Volvo Sailor of the Year, went to Robert Dixon and Sean Wadilove for their World Championship win last year. Sean told me about that victory.
Yeah, so we won the World Championships back in September. They were held in Marseille, the under-23 ones. We'd been putting in a lot of work. We had another two boats, training partners, that the Donnelly brothers from Dunleary and also Mark Hassan and Oisín O'Driscoll from Cork. And we also had an amazing coach from Poland, Titus Konarczewski. All the hard work, everything working together, came together. In the end, got us the World Championship win.
So that's all support given to you by the Sailing Association and by the government?
Yeah, that's right. And also the Irish Sailing Foundation is quite a new setup. They're really important in helping us, making sure we have the best equipment all the time, because equipment plays a massive role in sailing. Basically, the better your equipment is, the faster your boat will go.
Robert, tell me about the equipment. For people who might know, it's a 49er. What's a 49er?
A 49er is a two-person dinghy, and basically it is 4.99 metres, and both of us hang out off wires off the side of the boat.
So you've got these big extensions out either side.
Yeah, so there's two things called wings on the side of the boat, and then we stand on the edge of those wings attached to wires from our harnesses, and we stand out straight off the edge of the boat and try and get as much leverage as we can to produce as much force to go forwards.
Physical fitness, big part of it, I imagine?
Yeah, it's a huge part of it, and it's especially hard for Sean since he's a crew, so he has to do most of the heavy lifting in the boat, and he has to hoist the kite, which is like the big kite that you use to go downwind, and he has a lot of the heavy sheets that you have to hold all the time.
Besides the sailing training, what's your fitness regime?
Fitness regime is a lot of gym sessions and a lot of cycling. Often we do 3 or 4 hour cycles at the weekends and also on a Thursday. We do some rowing and we do ski erg, so a lot of cross training to try and get your cardiovascular fitness up and strength as well.
Sean, you're based in Portugal at the moment. You've just come back from there today.
Yeah, we literally got the flight in about 2.5 hours ago. So straight from the airport, quick change, and then into the sailing awards.
How did the World Championship go when you won the gold medal?
Basically, in the sailing regatta, whoever has the least amount of points after all the races are completed will win the regatta.
How many races did you have?
Not exactly sure, but I think we had about 12 or 13. The regatta went how we planned. We just wanted to be consistent, so we were consistent throughout the regatta. It was quite a breezy regatta as well, so the breeze suited us well at that time. We would have been one of the heavier teams out of the youth squads. And just, yeah, having the basic skills at that level just helped us to improve and compete.
So you're not necessarily trying to finish first in any race? Top 10 will do you?
Yeah, maybe not top 10, but consistently top 5, and you more than guaranteed that you will be in that podium position.
How many boats were in that fleet?
There's 52 boats in that fleet. There's no qualification for the under-23 World Champions, so it's just open entry, so any team can enter as long as they're under-23 in that year. And we also were lucky enough that I'm only 21, Rob is 20, so we're going to compete at it again this year in Norway in July, so hopefully to defend that title.
Robert, you've obviously been sailing all your life.
I've been sailing.
Out of boats?
Originally I grew up and learned how to sail on Loch Ria Club, and then from there when I was about 10 or 11 I sort of transferred over to Howth where I live now and sort of fine-tuned my skills there a bit. So I progressed through the Oppy, which was the first boat I sailed, and then me and Sean started sailing together like 6-7 years ago or something like that.
It's a long time to be together.
Yeah, so we started sailing in a 420, which was like the class up, the middle sort of ground, still a youth class, and then sailed the 49er now, which is the Olympic class.
In modern sports, in modern Olympic sports, under 23 is kind of the big underage section.
Yeah, under 23, so as you can see at the World Champions, there's 52 boats. So there's a lot of kind of talent coming up from the under 23 side. But in comparison to the ages that we've been competing at World Championships, the Senior Worlds,
Like, you can have anyone from maybe 20 up to 30, 35. So there's a big gap between ages. And I think we're going to just keep getting the experience, which is a big thing in sailing. So the more we sail, the more we compete. And hopefully we'll be able to get podium positions at Senior World Championships soon enough.
Olympics, qualifying for the Olympics, that be an ambition?
Yeah, that's the goal at the moment. So our qualifier for that will be in Auckland in New Zealand at the World Championships, where we have a chance to qualify the nation for the 40 honour spot. So to do that, we need to get most likely a top 10 result at the World Championships. So that's in November.
Best of luck for that. Surprise, you must be delighted to be Irish Sailors of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely delighted.
Because it's a huge event.
Yeah, it's great. I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. We just flew in, so and we're off again on Sunday. So, but yeah, it's really great. Yeah.
Back training again on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll fly in, fly home, or not fly home. I think it's our home now because we spent so much time there. Yeah, we'll fly back to Portugal on Sunday, and we'll be back on the water Monday, and back to our gym strength, our fitness. Actually, we're cycling 9 a.m. tomorrow, but not much of a break, even for a world storm is like this.
French-based solo sailor Tom Dolan is no stranger to the programme, and he also picked up an award. Tom Dolan, congratulations on your award here tonight.
Yeah, geez, thanks, Fergal. Thanks.
You've had good seasons, but this year has been particularly good. You achieved more or less what you wanted to achieve in the Figaro.
Almost, yeah, almost, I suppose. The one big thing about this season was the whole rookie championship. And I managed to finish third all the same, despite the breakage, despite one of my spreaders falling off at the first leg of the solitaire.
Yeah, so you missed one whole leg.
Yeah. Only did an hour of it. And the spreader bracket broke, and I had to turn around and go back. All the same, I thought that the whole rookie thing would have been over with that. Because usually when you miss out on a leg or something, you get fairly badly punished. But I ended up finishing third all the same. So.
Yeah, because you actually made it up after this. You got a 48-hour time penalty.
Yeah, 14, yeah. But like the difference between first and 10th was 25 minutes. So 14 hours is like a whole race. Right, okay,
so you managed to make up all that time?
No, not really, but I managed. Because it's a complicated system, because you get points per leg, because I had three fairly good legs after it. I managed to get enough points to save third place in the overall championship. But I was first going into the solitaire, so I did kind of lose two places, you could say.
What did you do after that race? What have you been up to since?
I slept for about a week. No, I slept for about 3 days. But like sleeping all night, get up and eat, sleep all day, get up and eat, nap all afternoon, and then sleep all night again. Did that for 3 days. You know, usually when you have a nap in the afternoon, you won't sleep at night. I actually did it for 3 days of just sleeping all the time, getting up because I was hungry and I had to go to the toilet.
Have you been doing much sailing since then?
No, not a whole lot now, to be honest. A little bit. I went for a bit of a spin on the boat just because it was missing it. And I almost went to do the Sydney Hobart, but I decided to stay at home.
Would have been over Christmas?
Yeah, would have been over Christmas. But no, apart from that, I've been doing 3 months of sitting in front of a computer, trying to get this year ready and searching, looking for sponsorship, preparing the year, ordering a new boat, managing bank loans and paper and tax and all sorts of fascinating things.
You have the new boat.
I do, yeah.
Tell me about it.
I got it there 2 weeks ago, and they kind of landed on it, they dump it on you, and you have an instruction book, and you have to put everything together and try and get it in the water as quick as you can. So I put in the water 2 days ago and just finished tuning the mast there this morning. So it's all ready, except I've no sails. They're going to should be arriving Monday, so the next thing is go sailing on Monday.
It's still involved with Smurfit Kappa?
Yeah, it's not completely official yet, but yeah, we will be going on for a number of years as well, so it all will be announced fairly shortly.
They've turned out to be a really, really good sponsor. We met the sponsor manager over there. He's very committed to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, they're really, it's been good timing as well, because together we're launching a big kind of campaign or a big kind of to help against the pollution in the seas. Think about packaging and about everything, really. So it's kind of the story or the values behind it are very, very relevant today, I suppose. So it's good. Yeah, it's great, and it's fulfilling to have the backing of such a big and successful company behind it. You can think, right, you know, can't be that bad.
You'll be bringing the new boat home because the Figaro is coming to Kinsale this year in June.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Yeah, first ever stop over in Ireland, yeah, so it should be good, yeah. Kind of an Irish year. I'll be doing a race with another Irish
skipper now at the start of the year, so I'm kind of a bit of a homecoming.
Damien Foxall, very well-known Irish sailor. You're doing the first race with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the first race of the season will be a double-handed, the Sardinia Cup it's called, which is kind of three legs. And a lot of the big names in sailing have come back, so I said, right, might as well get a big name. Why not an Irish one? So I asked Damien. I've been following him for a long, long time, so finally felt I was legitimate enough to ask him to come and do the race, and he said yes, so there we go.
So you'll be at Kinsale in June?
I will. See you there.
A special award, that of Services to Sailing, went to Donal O'Sullivan, who is retiring after 27 years as General Secretary of Dublin-based Sailing Club, one of the biggest in the world.
I had two reactions to this. One was a surprise and astonishment. And secondly, there are far more deserving people than me to be awarded, to be featuring in the award ceremony here. All these extraordinary young people who've been travelling the world, and normally administrators don't feature in this kind of thing.
Now, I would accuse you now of having false modesty, because how many years were you involved in and running Dublin-based Sailing Club?
Well, I've been on secretary for 27 years, but my involvement started much earlier than that, because I was protest secretary, which was the dealing with all these arguments and disputes that go out on the water. I must say,
almost semi-legal disputes.
I must say, Dublin Bay people are very generally a congenial lot under the guise of the water, and then it's a very different matter. There are no holes barred.
Now, let's talk about Dublin Bay Sailing Club, because if anybody looks out towards the sea from Dublin on a Tuesday or a Thursday night or on a Saturday afternoon, they'll see hundreds of boats out there. That's Dublin Bay Sailing Club. You don't have a club premises or anything, it's just to organise those races.
That's true. We all our membership are drawn from the four Dunleary clubs. In a way, if you like, we're the sailing arm, really, of the clubs, because most of the sailing, most of the racing in Dublin Bay is done by under the aegis, if that's the word, of Dublin Bay Sailing Club. Currently, we have about 320 boats on our register, and about 1,400 members.
And you're the biggest in these islands? Are you the biggest in Europe?
We have tried to, from time to time, to find out can we discover any club of the scale of Dublin Bay, and we can't really. We think we've come to the conclusion we must be one of the biggest regular yacht racing organisations in the world. And it's quite astonishing. And of course, we have certain advantages. We're 6 miles from the capital city, which probably no other probably sailing organisation like Dublin Bay has this advantage. We've 40 square miles of lovely sailing water, so we have great advantages, and that is why we're as strong as we are. For a lot of people, it's half an hour from their office. A lot of the world sailing regulations originated in Dublin Bay in the 19th century. And we've always been strong on sort of administration. A lot of my predecessors lasted not quite as long as I did. Perhaps one of them did, who was a man called J. Adair McGowan. I would regard this reward as an admission, really, of the people who went ahead of me, who also provided the administration and the administrative rigour that is necessary to keep an organisation like that going.
Administrative rigour is one way of putting it. You rule it with an iron fist. If we take Thursday nights, for example, you have hundreds of boats, but I know at the very start of the season what my start time is going to be to the second 3 months away.
Well, that is quite true. You could set your watch by the starting gun of the Dublin Bay Sailing Club on the West Pier, on the starter's hut. And we have quite an organisation going. I was only part of it, really. We have some great race officers.
What you also have, and how you get away with starting things precisely, is that you have all of these marks set out in Dublin Bay at precise locations. You use those to race around. How many of those are there, and do they have to be taken in every year?
There are 26 of these.
They have names like Poldy, Beaufort.
Yeah, all these marks. I had my hand in naming some of these marks. Poldy, for instance, is named after James Joyce, because Poldy was Leopold Boone, which was Molly Bloom's nickname for Leopold, was Poldy. We named one of our marks after Poldy. And if you remember, Dublin Bay features a lot in the works of Joyce. And if you remember Stephen Dedalus walking along into eternity along Sandymount Strand. And then there is the...
We have yachts tacking around the Muglins.
And we have. And up near in the Sandymount Tower, where Joyce and his friends, if you remember, looked out at the snot green sea, and we have one of our marks named Molly, which is in that area.
You're stepping down now just from the role of General Secretary after how many years?
27 years, yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of disputes, a lot of boats have passed in your hand, through your hands in those times.
Yes, we have. A lot of...
including myself.
One of the great things about it is that I've made... we mentioned administrative rigour there, but we did... has been our motto all the time is not to to annoy the members too much. We try to have a rest administration, but we don't overdo it. That always really has been our motto. And as I say, it's been a great pleasure to be secretary over these years. I've made a lot of friends, and I think the time has come to step down. But I'm quite happy there are very competent people taking over after me, and that is one of the things I'm very glad of.
Don, congratulations on your award. I, on behalf of everybody who's gone through Dublin Bay Sailing Club, those thousands of people, just say thank you.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
And that was Donal O'Sullivan stepping down after nearly 30 years at the head of DBSC. And that's it for Seascapes for this week. If you're out and about this weekend, I might see you at the National Show Centre in Swords, where the Irish Angling Show is being held tomorrow and Sunday. We're back at the same time on Seascapes next Friday, and everything on the programme is podcast on our website, rte.ie/seascapes. If you're near the water over the next week, be safe.
Gonna be easy.
Why are you talking in the voice?
Late nights, intensive research. Forget about seeing your family.
Well, you're my wife.
We'll chase every lead, shake down every witness.
Wait, what?
Cross-reference every offer and triangulate every promotion until we find it.
Find what?
The way, Peter. The way to save on car insurance.
But I already went on to 123.ie. Save 10%, no questions asked.
Oh, I better cancel those sniffer dogs.
Simple is smarter. Get 10% off new car insurance when you buy online at 123.ie. Acceptance criteria, T's and C's apply. 123 Money Limited trading as 123.ie is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. RSA Insurance Ireland Act provides 123.ie car insurance.
In the Irish Times weekend, think Bologna, not Florence, try Bath, not London. The magazine has some smart city break ideas far from the madding crowd. Katrina Balfe talks with Una Mullally about her childhood in rural Monaghan, from being a supermodel to becoming an Outlander TV star. And in sport, Kelly Harrington opens up on her troubled teenage years and how Dublin's inner city forged her into a boxing champion. The Irish Times weekend, your weekend's in good hands.
Replay, a roundup of highlights from Friday's programmes on RTE Radio 1, is on air from 2 a.m. But easing us into the weekend right now, it's Late Date with Fiachna O'Brienon.
Late Date with Fiachna O'Brienon on RTE Radio 1.
indeed. Thanks a million, Audrey. It is Fiacán O'Brien here. Great to be back with you on this Friday night. Hope the form is good and that you'll stick around. It is music from now until 2 here on RTE Radio 1. Music tonight from Sly and the Family Stone, Lucinda Williams, Ken Booth, Joni Mitchell. We've got David Crosby, Greenshine, Watson Ace, Olivia Cheney. We've got some new tunes as well from Mercury Rev, Joe Chester, Tiny Ruins, Cormac Branagh. Let's see, Claire Sands, Jack O'Rourke, all of that and much more. But first on RTE Radio 1, at just a minute past 11, it's over to the newsroom and Eileen Whelan.
Thanks, Fiacna. Good evening from the newsroom. The number of people waiting for outpatients appointments in public hospitals has risen to more than 523,000, which Fianna Fáil claims is the highest number ever recorded for such appointments. The figure from the National Treatment Purchase Fund shows the numbers waiting for appointments rose by 7,000 between December and January. More than 208,000 people are waiting more than 9 months to be seen. That's up 12,000 on the previous month. The US President Donald Trump has declared a national emergency at the border with Mexico in order to bypass Congress and access funding to build a wall. Democrat leaders said the move was an abuse of power. Here's our Washington correspondent, Brian O'Donovan.
US President Donald Trump began his press conference at the White House today by saying he expects trade with the UK to increase dramatically after Brexit. He then moved on to the issue of border security and confirmed that he was declaring a national emergency. This would allow him to bypass Congress and access funding to build his long-promised border wall. President Trump said it would be a great thing because it would stop what he described as an invasion of drugs, gangs and crime coming across the border. Democrats described the move as unlawful and a power grab. President Trump said today that he expects to be sued, but he will appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. Brian O'Donovan, RTE News, Washington.
Officials in the US say at least one person has been killed and a number of others wounded in a gun attack in an industrial park in Aurora, around 65 kilometres from Chicago. The area was placed in lockdown after a gunman opened fire. Reports said the gunman was shot dead by police. Back home, the main building contractor at the National Children's Hospital in Dublin has said it did not benefit inappropriately from the tender process. BAM Ireland also called on the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar.